This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I mean, it's RPO. You know, at the end of the day, he can give it. He can pass it. All of us was in the right positions. When it come down to that play, we just trust Deshaun to make the best play, to have the best outcome of that play. You know, like I say, that defense stunts so much, you know, and it can be confusing. You just can't put it all on Deshaun. We definitely wish we could have that play back, but at the end of the day, it is an RPO. So we can either run it or he can throw it. And next time, we'll execute it.
Jordan Akins on Monday, after the Browns' loss against the Giants. This all gets rehashed because yesterday, Deshaun Watson spoke yesterday. He responded to the criticism of, quote-unquote, not seeing the field and said that Jordan Akins was a decoy on that fourth down. I want to play this before I play another snippet of why I'm just not getting a good feeling overall. Go ahead.
Because other people are not in the film room, so that not everyone know exactly what the read was. That was a decoy, so that's the difference. Everyone can pause the tape and say, hey, you know, he should have thrown it here, should have thrown it here. You know, every quarterback deal with that. So if you choose one play and that's the play out of the whole game that everyone is calling, so be it. It is what it is, you know. No one's in those film rooms. No one is making those decisions. So I go based off of what is Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski are saying. And, you know, on that decision, they made a good play. They got jammed up on the slant. That's what we did it. The previous time when we scored a touchdown, I did the same as that read, and I hit Jerry. So, I mean, did I see it wrong then? You know, so for me, it's just, you know, like I said before, it's just I go based off what Kevin and Ken is making those decisions and how they're grading me on that.
I've often made a lot of comparisons between him and the former quarterback. The name we do not mention, so we do not flood our phone lines. There's another comparison that I have to make here, because he was asked a little bit later on about fan comments. He says he was not frustrated by the fan comments.
No, because I know reality. You know, I see the game differently than the fans see it. So I don't get frustrated because someone else's opinion, from seeing it from the stands or pausing it on tape, think that this is the right decision. If you're not, you know, a coach or playing the quarterback position, I might hear it depending on who you are, but at the end of the day, you know, no one's in the meeting rooms but me, Ken, Kevin, DTR, and Jameis. So we know the reads, we know exactly where the ball should go, and like I said before, we just, whatever grade that we get graded on each and every Monday after the game, that's what we go with.
It's what I'm most worried about. Like, the offense is the offense. I don't know if the offense is ever going to be great. I can't tell you that. I think it could be more streamlined than what it is right now. I think the offensive line having all the injuries really hurts that. I don't take his word about the fan stuff. I think he's hearing the boos. I think he sees what people put about him on social media. I think that, you know, you take a look at the replies to the official team site, and it's all negative about him. A lot of people go out of their way to find a lot of bad film, and it's not that hard to go find it right now. There's a lot of other guys that, you know, there's people who have made a cottage industry out of breaking down film and putting it on social media. I'm not even going after them, but there's guys like Dan Orlovsky, who I can't sit there and deny what that guy sees. I can't sit there and deny what Greg Cosell sees. I can't do that. And I think a lot of this is bothering him. And that's what's making me very concerned. That's what's making me very, very, very concerned.
Well, not only that.
It's not the fans' fault. They can do exactly as they please. It's professional football. But I feel that he's I feel that he's becoming a little bit concerned or preoccupied with the opinions of us sitting in the stands, and it worries me. Because if you're starting to do it in spite of them, you're not going to be able to do it.
I would agree. Not only that, you know, they kind of want to see... I think it'd be easy to commiserate or to be able to understand what someone's going through if that messenger did a better job of just being human. And you just don't get a lot of that from Deshaun. He's just never been good at that since he's been in Cleveland. I could show you things in Houston that would be different, but things aren't the same. He's not the same. He's had a very, very traumatic way of life over the last however many years because of everything he's been through and everything he's put himself through. So we don't get the guy that, like, well, I've seen Josh Allen come to the podium and go, I was terrible. I've seen Patrick Mahomes come to the podium and go, yeah, I missed that read. I missed that read. Coach is mad at me. I got to get better at that. You just don't see that from Deshaun. He never admits.
Yeah, but they don't tell those guys that they don't know football. I mean, there are people now saying he doesn't know what he's doing as a quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's concerning.
Well, I would say Patrick Mahomes kind of famously said after his rookie year or after the first year that he played, he's like, I can't read linebackers. I can't identify him. You never hear Deshaun Watson admit to anything, but any shortcomings.
It's easy to say that when things are going good.
Yeah.
You can admit these things when things are going well. When things are going bad and you have to batten down the hatches as it feels and you're getting booed every single time you go out there in front of your own home fans, that's a totally different standpoint.
And
Patrick Mahomes has all the room in the world to admit, hey, I don't know this, and people joke about it. He admits something that he doesn't know. If he were to dare do it, it's curtains for the rest of the week.
But that's what's funny is the whole point, what was supposed to be different about him signing the guaranteed deal is that he was supposed to be secure. He was supposed to be the one that was untouchable and that, well, it doesn't matter what happens, he's not getting replaced. And yet it doesn't feel that way, right? It doesn't feel that way. Like, it feels that if this keeps going down this way, like, he could lose his job by week six or week seven. That security seems gone right now, just in the way that people talk about it. I don't know how it truly is in that building. I have no idea.
Oh, I but think in that building...
Does that guy seem like he's walking around secure? Doesn't seem like it to me.
I think in that building, he's fine. I think that's the only place he's fine.
What do you mean he's fine?
On these airwaves, we get people calling us every day. They are done. I'm getting yelled at on social media. Why can't you see it? I go, guys, I'm not saying he's going to be a franchise quarterback. He's their franchise quarterback. All I've tried to do is tell it the truth. And everywhere else outside of that building, he is a guy that a lot of fans, the vast majority of fans now, have either given up on or have terrible feelings about that this thing's not going to work out. And I think so many people have called us up, and I've tried to either... It's the same refrain every time, so I don't just want to take a bunch of calls of the same message. But every time things don't go well, Tone, you know it as well as I do. They're sitting... I mean, you can't act silly about this. You see the same boards I do. It's the same thing. They don't want him around. They don't want him to play quarterback. They want to put in Jameis Winston. And I'm going, guys, it's week four.
Right.
It's week four.
It's so early.
But I say it's week four.
There's so many 1-2 and 0-3 teams.
But if I say it's week four, which it's true, and in that building, that's how they feel, it's week four, let's relax for a second. Well, you're making excuses for him. I'm not making excuses for him. The play has not been good. You've had one bad performance, one okay performance, passable, and you've had one not so great performance. Wasn't as bad as what it was against Dallas, but it wasn't very good. And you know, there is the reasoning of the offensive line that you could throw out there as well. And hell, if I dare bring up Joe Burrow that he's 0-3 about the elevation, I mean, my God, they're going to let the air out of my tires. So there are people that are out for it. They don't want him here, and they yell at us for it. And the only place that he's quote-unquote safe from any of that criticism is in that building. That's the only place, because I'm telling you right now, you can say, well, I don't think it's going to go well, so we need to get rid of him. No, 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 no. If you truly believe he's not playing at any level right now, then I'll have the argument. But if you think this thing is going to go to nosedive, they're going to run it right into the mountain before they do any of this other. So you're going to get the same offense. You're going to get the same reads. You're going to get the same work. And it's either going to sink or swim. And if it swims, fine. I don't know how great it can be if it swims because we have so many injuries and other things going on. And I don't know how great of a quarterback he is to begin with right now. But if it sinks, well, then eventually you're going to put in Jameis Winston, but they are going to exhaust every option possible before they do that, because I cannot stress it enough. Once you open that door, you're never going back, and things will change for this franchise for the next 3-4 years. This is major stuff we're talking about. So either A, they reach that level, or God forbid B, he gets hurt again. That's where we're at. I can't make that decision 4 weeks into the season. Hell, I was just having an argument earlier this week that it's still the preseason. 216-474-0092. Josh and Berea. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Before I get on my Deshaun Watson topic, I just want to applaud Lima yesterday for owning that guy with the mic levels and all that stuff.
Strong.
And little bit, you know, hey, I took a little, you know, slice of that as well, because I tend to talk over you guys, but it's not because I want to talk over you guys. I just kind of have that energy where I'm making them at night, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're talking about. But Josh, go ahead. What were you wanting to say about Deshaun Watson?
So, not to get nitty-gritty here, but with that whole decoy comment, to me, exposed Deshaun Watson that he doesn't understand man coverage and zone. Because he brings up the Judy completion. When he completed that pass, they were in cover three. That's why it worked. When he missed Akins, they were in man. And Judy jammed up two guys, so in theory, the play worked, and it freed up Akins. I don't think a coach is going to be like, hey, oh, well, you made the right read, Deshaun. That's why you didn't get the first down. If he would have hit Akins, the coach would have been like, that's great instinctual football. You understood the situation there. So it's just like, stop being defensive, dude. Just take accountability to it. And that's not the only play you missed, man. We can name about 4 or 5 passes that you missed in that game, too. That's not the only one that
Josh,
armchair quarterback.
See, I don't disagree with you. Let me tell you that, right? Okay. My whole theory of this is that, you know, I said, you know, in a Kevin Stefanski offense, are there decoys? Probably there are a few. I don't know if it's all together there, because you want to simplify it down as best you can. I think it's this. Was he or was he not getting hammered every single play last game? He was, right? He was. So now he's in a position where he doesn't trust anybody in front of him. He only trusts himself. And that means he's going to, if you only trust yourself and you are in a panicked situation, which he was in, trying to bring this team back, he is only going to trust himself and the first thing he sees. If the first thing he sees isn't there, well, then you're going to have what you ended up having. Because he's not going to be able to look it off and go find Jordan Akins.
Well, then that just shows me that he is playing Madden and he's just going off of what the play is telling him, what the first read is. Where in actual football, the first read is dictated based off the defensive coverage you're seeing pre-snap.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that he goes into the game thinking that. I think with 14 minutes left in the first quarter and they're just taking over on their first drive, everything's in sync, everything's ready, he knows what he's going to see. But after you've been spending the next 3 quarters with your ass in the ground and you're looking up at the sky because you can't get a pass off because you are getting hammered because your offensive line is in tatters, it does tend to take an effect on you. And people are booing you, and you can definitely hear the boos going on, and they're chanting for your backup, and they're chanting for a guy. I mean, let's be honest. They were chanting for a guy who plays on a different team right now. He hears all that.
Yep.
That is not a great situation.
Hey, and that same guy had offensive line issues, and he said, those were on me, and I had a bad game. I don't know why he can't say the same thing.
I understand, but I don't think he can't. Josh, thank you very much for the call. I don't think he can just sit there and say, hey, I'm getting hammered. My offensive line was bad. I got to say it. I'm not trying to make it personal. There's so many people out there. They're so mad they want to make it personal. I'm not making it personal. I'm just seeing for what it is. It was a bad answer. I didn't like the answer. The decoy stuff, that's a bad answer. But it's a worse answer if he says, yeah, man, I was getting hammered the whole game. And I saw the first read, and that's what it was. And I decided to do something different, and it didn't work out. 216-474-0092. I missed something yesterday in our whole conversation about this Sluka fella from UNLV. He's a quarterback. They started off 3-0. He said that they didn't give him the money that he was owed. And this thing has gotten very convoluted. He decided he's done. He's going to redshirt now because you're allowed to do that in NCAA football. He's going to redshirt. He's gone. There was reports of him being offered more money to transfer by somebody else. There was a report that was out there that, no, they satisfied what the agreement was. And there was also the report that Noel, a assistant coach who seems to be a rogue assistant coach, said that they were going to give him $100,000. They were going to give another guy $100,000. Writing checks that seems that Barry Odom and UNLV can't cash. So it goes to say that, yeah, you know, some people go, well, what happened to college football the way it was? We just know about it now. Back in the day, it was just under the table, and it was greasy, and it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun. It's the whole scene. Everybody likes backdoor shady stuff and hearing about drama. You do. You do. And I think it was fun for a lot of people. What I missed out of this is it got to our own like lives. Like, well, if you don't like the job you like, you just leave. And I said, well, no, I have a negotiation period that I get to, but I signed a contract. Did he sign a contract? Was there a contract signed?
No, it's pretty evident that he didn't.
Until they do that, then eventually contracts are going to have to be signed. Like, I can't put myself in his shoes, and nobody else can if I didn't sign a contract, or if I signed a contract.
Yeah, I imagine he was it a 4-year starter at Holy Cross before he came to UNLV?
I'm not necessarily sure.
And he didn't set the world on fire. He had nice seasons at a lower level. So I don't know how many teams were after him, but I'm guessing that he didn't have any offers like allegedly the UNLV one. If he had any offers, you know, I'm talking financial. I'm sure he could transfer to a lot of different places because I've seen it. I mean, I do a lot of games on Saturdays with guys that were at the FCS level and then come up to play in the MAC, whatever. And I've seen some transferred. Yeah. You see it. You see different variations of that. I do wonder, like, at some point, is a bird in the hand worth two in the bush? I mean, I think that's what he went with here, because I'm sure he had other schools that would have given him an opportunity. May not have given much in the NIL department, and so he kept chasing this. And he ends up going to UNLV with nothing in the hand. Mm-hmm. At no point was he getting anything other than what? A housing stipend, $3,000 is all he got. And you are dealing with a bunch of unscrupulous individuals with these third parties, not necessarily at Ohio State. At Ohio State, theirs has to be above board, because they're dealing with the best players in the country. And those best players in the country, if they catch a whiff that you're not going to honor that commitment, well, they'll go to another school. They'll go to Miami. Yeah. They'll go to, you know, USC. They'll go to another great program. They don't have to sit there and go, is Ohio State going to pay me? Is their collective going to handle this? Their third party collective? No, go to Ohio State's third party. Go to their collective and go look at who's involved. It's a bunch of big-time people in the business community and big-time former Ohio State people. Those people are not going to put their names behind something if the money is not going to be there. Yeah. But at UNLV, they don't have that. They don't have that tradition.
They don't need to care.
They just don't have it.
If it works and they get an 11-1 season out of it, or a 10-2 season out of it, they make a nice bowl game, then to hell with it. Who cares? I understand it. A place like Ohio State, I mean, Florida has, I mean, you look at the dirt that's been thrown on Florida and the Jaden Rashada lawsuit and everything going on there. Like, I don't think Ohio State wants any part of that. And they don't want it to affect their business or their recruiting. I agree with you totally there.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
But the only hope I have out of this is that this would create a system, and this is an easy thing to say and a very hard thing to do, I understand, where you're just going to have to make them employees and have them have contracts, or independent contractors with contracts, and some sort of a system of, hey, you come here, you're out of high school, it's a 3-year commitment or a 2-year commitment, depending on what we're willing to give you. And then there's buyouts and all the other things that you have to do. If you want to go transfer to Oregon and you already go to Penn State, you got to buy yourself out of this contract here. That's the only way I know how to make it legal.
This wild, wild west stuff, you almost needed this story and the Rashada story. You needed this stuff for you to get to the next frontier of this, which is contracts, clearing houses, a lot of lawyers, and that's all going to be a part of whatever settlement ends up happening, whatever deal, because this third-party stuff is not going to continue long-term. It's got to be coming from the TV deals, right? And they've got to figure out how to facilitate that along with the boosters. Like, there's always going to be boosters that want to help their teams, but in reality, the boosters don't want to. If that money can come from the TV networks, the boosters don't want to have to donate money to try to lure recruits, especially because they're going to get burnt.
Athletic directors and school presidents, I don't think, have ever been comfortable in the history of college athletics with boosters. Fully comfortable.
They've been a necessary evil.
Yes, they have.
Ohio State's had a bunch of them. I'm not going to start naming companies. I've been to their tailgates.
Yeah.
I've been to their tailgates at the Shoe. They're amazing. They go on amazing trips with Ohio State. They employ a lot of people in not only Northeast Ohio, but around this state. They have gotten dirty. They did it with Tressel. They certainly did it with Cooper. They did it with Urban Meyer.
Well, I mean, and there's always the schools like, I'm sorry, when Ole Miss, before all this was kind of made the Wild West, when Ole Miss is good, well, you better start looking around because Ole Miss ain't supposed to be good. When UNC was good at football, well, you better start looking around because UNC ain't no good at football until they start cheating.
I mean, that was famous.
Exactly. So you have these situations that play into it. Now it's all there and open. But it's not about, like, we got to save the young people. It's not that. It's about, hey, there are commitments there, but I can't yell at a guy and say that he's bad if there's no contract that's signed. Because just as easy, UNLV can go, what contract can you bind me to? You're the one who got hurt here in the fourth game of the season. I don't know. You bleep.
Well, so here's
and they don't want a third party being able to say that and ruining any credentials that they may have.
Here's the crazy part of this. People keep comparing it to the NFL and professional sports, but this is so different. This is different because we're talking about a quarterback that a place like UNLV said he was going to make how much? What was at least the reports?
I wish I could tell you. There's been so many different
numbers thrown out. Was it 500,000, 300,000?
I heard 100,000 from the one coach. Okay. That's the only number I had heard. Well, and then there was the 3,000 that was like confirmed.
But imagine if it's 100,000. A quarterback has 100,000 and nobody else gets any NIL money. Nobody. Zero. That's different from the NFL. The NFL, you have a salary cap. Yeah. You have tags, you have a different allotted amount, you have rookie scale, like you have all that stuff in place. In college football, imagine being the head coach of UNLV. You've got your assistant coaches maybe making promises that they certainly can't, or the boosters can't keep, the school wants nothing to do with. Now you've got a 3-0 start and they're of, hey, if we keep this going, we could get to the 12-team playoff. And then you have that rug ripped right out from underneath you 3 weeks in. How do you coach? How do you bring a team together? How do you find your leaders? Like, this is insane. This is not something that can continue.
Could you see a scenario? Let me throw this out at you. I'm asking a question here. Could you see a scenario where it's like, all right, Owen Lotteman, he is a recruit. I could certainly use a player that he knows, but I'm not going to do that because it's unfair to the young man. So Owen Lotteman, you're a recruit. There's 10 schools that you're interested in. Here is the best offer we have. You sign with us at Florida State. You have a 3-year commitment here. There may be some outs. What those outs are, maybe a coach gets fired. Maybe the AD gets fired. Maybe they leave for other opportunities.
Some protections.
Maybe that would open you up. There are outs. There are protections. But you have a 3-year agreement with us. If you want out, you must buy your way out of the contract. You better be talking to Oregon or whoever you might want to go to. And then through that, it just becomes the same as where, all right, FSU is right now an ACC school, and it seems that they, whether they like it or not, they're going to be an ACC school. Is there a salary cap in the ACC? Is there a salary cap in the Big Ten? Is there a salary cap in the SEC? Or is there something with the P4 that is a broad salary cap amongst all of them, and they have to deal with it? And it's like, hey, you get paid what you get paid, and then anything else outside of that, it's just like what it is with pro football players. Like Myles Garrett makes a nice hefty salary, but he also has endorsements that come in as extras. So Owen Lotteman makes a nice hefty salary as a quarterback at Florida State, but he also gets other things that come in as extras. And that's just the American way of capitalism.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's, look, it's always happened. It's always happened where those guys at the top of the line have gotten other stuff. But you're right, it needs to be standardized. The problem is once the third-party stuff goes away and the real money, the real compensation is coming from the school, I mean, the school is going to gut everything else except for football. I mean, that's just a reality. To pay these players and do it market value.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you're just going to have college football, maybe college basketball, and that's just about it at these schools. You're going to see this is going to be a massive undertaking, any transition that's going to happen in college sports.
Anthony in Cleveland Heights, you're first up in the Fan.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about this. You know, it's funny. I read some of baseball history, how similar what's going on in college football was going on in baseball prior to the turn of the 20th century. You know, for example, the Pittsburgh Pirates name came from a questionable transfer of a player to Pittsburgh. They got dubbed the Pirates because they sold the player, and that name stuck. You know, the Cleveland Spiders, they went 20-134 because the owner had ownership in two teams. He took all the best players from Cleveland, moved them to St. Louis, and the Cleveland Spiders ended up with nobody.
So where do you think this is all headed then?
Well, you know, I think what you guys are talking about is correct. I think what the powers that be in baseball thought about at that point in time, which is this is no way to run a cartel, is exactly what the powers that be in college football are thinking right now. You had over the past weekend, you know, poaching is still going on. Like, I don't know who it was. It was Utah State, right? They're going from the Mountain West to the Pac-12 or something.
Yeah.
You know, I think the powers that be are saying we can't operate like this, whether it's, you know, the poaching and the conferences or the fact that the UCLA is in the Big Ten, which makes no sense, or this stuff at the individual level. These players are just leaving, as Lima said, without any contracts. I am sure at the level of the major players in college football, they're saying we have to fix this. Now, as far as where I think it's headed, you're talking about you're going to have standardized things. Personally, I think the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference are going away. I think that they are going to say we cannot operate with these two old school conferences. They're going to go east and west or something like that to standardize it completely. You know, and I think the other thing is, I think that at that point, I think the big thing is, you know, if you go talk back to when this was first started out years ago, Northwestern's players tried to unionize, and the Northwestern president said, "We are not in the business of football. If they unionize, we are out." So,
and that might mean the Northwestern will be out of something like that.
Because I think
you make a lot of great points. I got to let you go here because we're getting ready here for it.
And that also all happened before all this NIL.
And that it all happened before that. But there's also another point where, like, I still think it's hard for me to imagine a world where we don't have the Big Ten and the SEC because of the brands and the loyalty to the brands. I mean, they do chant SEC down there. And you mentioned it yourself. You didn't like USC until they played LSU because USC was a Big Ten school. There is a brand loyalty for a lot. I mean, there's 50,000 students who go to Ohio State every year, right? I mean, my God in heaven, look at the alumni network that you have. That's a lot of Big Ten fans that spend a lot of damn money on the football. So it's hard for me to imagine that those two brands may go away. You may have just two super conferences in the future where it's the SEC versus the Big Ten, and it's just like the AFC and the NFC, and you're going to get your champion out of each of them. It may work like that with college football, but I do think that there has to be, at some point, a binding contract that the school is responsible for with their athletic department, and then the player is responsible for. Because there is a point where I love talking the NFL. I mean, you got guys going all over the place. Who knows what coaching you're going to get? I do think it affects certain positions. I think it really has affected the offensive line. I'd like to look deeper into that. And I think it's affected quarterbacks as well. 216-474-0092. Mary Kay, 820. Coming up at 8 o'clock, you can't be going ahead and button to ruin a perfect game, except if you're still in the game.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Had a new experience yesterday when it came to some shopping, but it wasn't out with the wife, you know, going into the dressing rooms and all of that and having her
fun
try on all sorts of stuff. No, this was very different. Kenny, you're familiar with some of those. I'm not going to name the company, but are you familiar with some of those subscription-based clothing services where they come to the house, you try on what you want, you keep what you want, you send back what you don't?
Got a coat from there once.
You did?
One time, yeah.
And you stopped after that?
Basically, yeah.
Well, so the wife got involved with this because she feels like she doesn't have the free time nearly as much.
No.
Right now with the two
kids.
Very
busy.
So this company sends the clothes to us. It's in a box. There were four different items yesterday.
Ah.
She just kind of did the pretend try-on where she just puts it in front of her body. I say, yeah, oh, I like that one. Number two, clothing item number two. Yeah, oh, that's good. Okay. And then I kind of said, how much are these? Don't worry about it. Number three, I like the other two better. Why don't you like this one? Just like the other two better. Yeah, but what specifically don't you like? It was like me dealing with the caller yesterday about the Browns offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what specifically don't you like about this one and the way it looks on me? I don't know, Sarah. I just like the other two. All right, we'll come back to that one. Item number four. Yep, I like that one. Well, so what didn't you like about the item three?
So she only cared about the one you didn't like.
So that happened to be the one she liked the most.
Yeah, that's
of course. And at the same time, I'm going, well, how much is this? Can you tell me what it is? I'll get to it. If they don't have the tags on it, you got to go back to the sheet that's provided in the box.
Lord almighty.
And so now we're getting into an argument for no reason.
Oh, this is fun.
We're getting into an argument for no reason because I liked the way these other items looked. I just didn't like that one as much. It wasn't even that I hated it. But then as we're talking, I grew to hate it. I grew to hate that one. And in fact, I grew to hate every single one of these because then she started telling me what the prices were. And I said, we can't be doing this every month because there's going to be a shipment of these items every single month.
You probably do it without even knowing, though. She probably does it without even knowing. If there's a shipment it's costing you that much. It probably costs you that much every month anyway.
Well, that's
you just
thing.
Don't even know.
That's the thing. Neither of us had been shopping. This was the second month that this had come through. We don't really get clothes anymore. I don't really care. I told Owen before the show, I'm like, is there come a time where you just don't care what you dress like anymore? He's like,
yeah, you're in it right
yeah,
now.
I'm in it.
Welcome.
You
got
doesn't
kids
matter.
And you don't
you're
get
finally
to go anywhere
here.
Now.
Yeah, I don't go anywhere.
Well,
I don't really
especially
care.
Especially compared to 4 years ago, you were laying out your feast outfits and things like that and buying
yeah.
new things
would
for that.
Would call me on the way to Saks or Nordstrom Rack. That's what it was. He would call me on the way and he was, I'm like, this is a totally different world that I'm in.
I was doing shopping sprees.
Yes,
yeah.
You would. So what you want to say that you shouldn't be offering these opinions to her? Is that it?
No, I'm just saying this seems like a terrible situation all the way around because those shipments
fight
are going
about it every time. Yeah.
Well, it's not only that. It's that she doesn't need all these clothes. She certainly doesn't need them every month. And she certainly doesn't need them at
now,
the prices that she's going to be paying.
Don't know that.
And
that's
let's be honest.
That's a very sticky thing to jump into.
And when we say she has a job. I have a job, but no, who's going to be paying for these clothes?
That's okay. Well, I don't know if I should actually be trying to fix you over here, because I don't know if I want to go, I don't know if I want your wife hearing this.
Furthermore.
I don't know if I want to hear that.
Furthermore, what's going to happen, because she saw the way that I was reacting, all because I just didn't like the one thing on her as much as the other. She wanted my opinion. I gave my opinion. Furthermore, here's what's going to happen. Because she said, you know, you can do this too. Okay. Well, the more that she does it, and if I start doing it, what is it going to be?
How much have
it's
you guys...
It's going to be mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
There's going to be an arms race
Well, how
here.
Much have you guys... See, your tastes have changed where hers hasn't. So let me diagnose this as quickly as I possibly can for, you know, time's sake here. You guys, I imagine, like, looking at clothes together at some point in your time together. Yes?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys liked it before.
Yeah.
Now you no longer like it. You feel busy because, I mean, that's usually the way it goes. I never liked looking at clothes, so it didn't matter to me. Whatever way Liz wants to dress me is perfectly fine with me. And when left to my own devices, well, obviously, I can put something together as of now, but most of the time, it doesn't make any sense. Hence what I'm wearing today by accident. So I think that it's easier in my world, maybe in Owen's, but I'm not going to speak for him. With you guys, your tastes have changed. Her tastes have not. So, A, if you guys can still afford to pay the bills and I ain't trying to get into your finances, I think it's a very bad thing to go jumping into the price of the clothes if it makes your wife feel a lot better about herself about shopping for the clothes. The other part about it is that maybe you should just tell her that you, your tastes have changed and you no longer care about how certain clothes look on certain people.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's going to be an every month thing. When does anybody our age shop every month for clothes?
That's why they have these. Businesses. You don't have to bring them in every month. You don't have to bring something in every month. As far as I know, you don't have to buy anything every month.
No,
do you?
You don't have to buy.
They're not
any
coming
of
in and hold a gun to your head, and making
but,
you
but
buy.
That's are the point. Responsible She's... to return them once they send them to you.
Yeah, you do have to return them.
Which is what I'm doing right now.
Well, I've got them in my car. I'm going to the post office right after the show.
Yeah, make sure you get them back to them.
Yeah, you do. By the way, I won that debate on the jacket. Looked like it was from Sprockets. Like it was a futuristic thing.
Congratulations on all your success.
Would you like to pet my monkey?
There was a nice cardigan. There was a knife. A couple nice items for her, and I liked them. I don't know if I liked them for the price.
It looks like it was from Sprockets. Yeah. Is a great line. I shouldn't
but
even.
It looked like a. She's looking like a pencil. It went right down. It was beige. I know it's fall attire.
She is a slight woman.
I know, but there are other things a little more flattering. And when I communicated that to her, all of a sudden she took it as a shot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how to answer these questions going forward.
She don't have any friends that can tell her that stuff.
Back to the friends thing.
Oh. You decided to live on the west side. How many houses were open in my neighborhood?
It wouldn't have mattered. She wouldn't have let me out of the house.
Doesn't matter about that. She would have had Liz to pick it out with her. That's what she would have had.
I want Liz's expensive tastes joining in on the party.
What are we talking about? I can't.
Liz has some nice stuff.
I can't defend her because I don't know what she spends on clothes. Anything is going to be too high. That's why I do not like looking at
bills. I don't need her and her taste as a bad influence on my wife.
We got the Mexican food.
Tastemaker.
We got the Mexican food on Tuesday. And just as a reference, even that, I was like, how am I going to explain this to my wife? It was like $70. 216-474-0092.